England, University of Philosophy, God Unlimited, Church of England. These are the two organizations in London where the University of Healing and University of Philosophy and the Church of God Unlimited have functions with the Reverend Christie. Today we're going to have a beginning of a series of six talks, and the talks are entitled, I Will Ride the Envelope. I will ride the envelope. I will go along with what I find inside the package. And we'll have six lectures in a seminar form over the next 6 days, including today. And the first one is, What Does God Unlimited Church of England Teach? And the next one, Who Are the Congregation of God Unlimited Church of England? And the next one, The Place of Children in God Unlimited Church of England. And the next one, What Does the Congregation of God Unlimited Church of England Live in Their Private Lives? And the fifth one, Why Children Are So Important to the God Unlimited Church of England? And the sixth one, What Is the Role of the God Unlimited Church of England to the people and to the world? So we begin. What does God Unlimited Church of England teach? This is a good question that we all are interested in knowing the answer to. What is it that the God Unlimited Church of England teaches? Well, the God Unlimited churches, wherever they may be in the world, teach the same thing. Be yourself and have fun. So, in the entire Great Britain community, the God Unlimited churches teach, be yourself and have fun. Now, as you watch British humor comedy on videos and on the television and in the movies, you sometimes think to yourself, that's a little different humor than is in America and in other countries of the world. The humor of the British is a little more different, that's all. You can't say any other thing except that, because every country's humor is unique. And not only unique, laughable perhaps only to the people in that country. And if you're not on an inside joke, you haven't got it. Well, this is why Dr. Christie is working with these people here, sharing God Unlimited Church of England. In teaching the people in Europe these things are taught because of one simple thing. The British people have all their lives set up parameters, priorities, and programs for themselves, which have not only limited them, but which have kept them from being the masterful beings that they are. At one time in the British history, when God Unlimited first started out, the British history were extremely fantastic expression of magic in man. Because the British said, the sun never sets on the British Isles. Wherever the British went, they brought to them the culture and the society and the teachings that they believed were important. And so as they brought these things to all the nations of the world, all the nations of the world were blessed by driving on the wrong side of the road. And aside from that, they had many good things that built up in them some beautiful concepts. And because the British believed in what they did, they went around the world and all the world followed them and all the world became subjects of the British Empire. More by accepting it and more by desire than by going in and conquering them. The British really conquered very few nations of the world, if any, and most of the subjects that came into the British Empire came because they wanted to, because the British Empire was damn good. It was one of the finest, most upstanding, most outstanding nations of the world, with the latest of everything. If it wasn't in Britain, it wasn't anywhere yet, because everything started out in Britain and then spread throughout the world, much as it does in America today. But Britain had this, and this joy and this magic about it. But then the joy and magic began to fade. And the joy and the magic began to fade when Britain went out and tried to single-handedly handle the worries of the world. They went out and tried to protect the interests of people who were not their subjects. Working with their subjects, working with the nations that had chosen to be part of the British nation, everything went along just fine. But when they started working with nations that were not part of the British Empire, like Poland and many others, they got themselves in a very bad way. But long before that, the Boer War and many others of these ancient things, people began sifting away from the British nation because they didn't like the autocracy and the autonomy of the British nation and the lack of individuality for the peoples, which the British always gave to their countries. And so they faded away. And today, the British nation is rather small compared to what it was at its prime. Now, with the introduction of the current day God Unlimited program in England, as Christy is doing it, she is training the people in England to come to the realization that they already are masters right now. They don't have to go out and claim anybody. They don't have to go out and own anybody. They don't have to go out and possess anybody. But they're to be themselves and have fun. And many of the young princes of the realm have tried to be themselves and have fun. But unfortunately, they tried to be themselves and have fun with the old training that they had from the monarchy of what themselves was. And themselves were the ability to do anything they chose at any time they chose, regardless of who it hurt, and without respect for the people. You see, you do nothing to hurt yourself or another person when you're being yourself and having fun. You do everything that's a blessing for yourself and the world. You would never hurt another person because another person doesn't need to be hurt by you. You would be a blessing to everyone. And this is what Christy is teaching to all of those who come to her for the England University of Philosophy and God Unlimited Church of England. You say, well, you really haven't heard too much about them yet. No. Christy is doing her teaching subliminal. She's doing it without a lot of fanfare. She's doing it in the gentleness of soul to soul. And as she's doing this, she is building up such a following of people who believe as she does, who believe that they are beautiful beings, that they are fantastic, glorious beings, that they want to be with her. So when we ask, what does the church teach? The church teaches one thing: be yourself and have fun. Now, this is the big part of the teaching. What does it mean to be yourself and have fun? Well, it could mean several things. It could mean being your human self and having fun being your human self. Or it could be being your divine self and having fun being your divine self. Now, do you want to be your human self to the ultimate, which is not a bad idea, or do you want to be your divine self to the ultimate, which is a great idea? What happens when you are your human self to its greatest, to its finest, and to its best? What happens when you're being yourself on your human level? Well, what happens is that you're enjoying yourself. What happens is that you don't need anything from anybody else. You are just totally enjoying being the being that you are, being the lovely, fantastic, marvelous person that you are. That's who you are. This is what Christy is teaching to all the people in the British Isles. And she is sending this word throughout the world by the individuals that she's dealing with. And she's doing it sort of ostensibly as a nurse in the hospital. And these people don't realize that they're having that impact from the divine being thrust upon them. And they say, why? I feel so great. I feel so wonderful. I feel so powerful. I feel so good. I feel like everything is going my way. Well, what's going on about me? What's going on? Hey, you're just opening the door to the divine within instead of opening the door to the experiences without. If you open the door and let the outer world come in, then you're going to get everybody else's problems. If you open the door and let your inner self out, that's the best way to do it, isn't it? You let your inner self out, then what's going to happen? When you let your inner self out, then all the magic of the world takes place. Because you are the divine, and the divine is coming out of you and is just being wonderful. Now, does the divine always have a smile on its face? Yep. Does the divine always have something happy to say about yourself?
Yes.
Does the divine ever say that you're not good?
No.
No. I wonder who says so. The divine never says anything bad about you. The divine always looks and sees who you really are. And the divine is just looking to express this in every area of your life. But when you get hung up on the outer, because you got the door open, and in comes all those attitudes and ideas, and those attitudes and ideas say that you're not too cool, then you're in trouble. Then you're in trouble. And you don't want to be in trouble. You want to be happy all the time, and the way to be happy all the time is to let the divine in you come out with a big smile on your face and a big happiness in your voice and an attitude that is so spectacular. And you see, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. And this is what Christy teaches from morning to night. And at night, she works on other dimensions. But she doesn't know about that, and we won't confuse her with that right at the moment. But during the day, she has this one dimension, and she has many areas in this dimension. She thinks that having Ibube, her nephew, with her is sort of an accident, you know. She doesn't know that he is part of her training program for working with the children of the world, which we'll talk about later. And her nephew, Ugo, is also part of her training program, having this big monster sleeping in her living room and doing his work in medicine and so forth. Marvelous fellow. And her granddaughter, Chioma, and the other relatives who are there, they all come to Christy because Christy does not judge them. All Christy does is see them beautiful, fantastic, fulfilled, revealed right now. And as Christy sees them fulfilled, revealed, fantastic right now, so they are. They cannot be anything else in Christy's world because that's all she sees them as. She sees them as divine, as perfect, as fulfilled right now. And, of course, this is what she teaches. Now you say, maybe we ought to keep Christy here, huh? If she is such a paragon of majesty and magnificence, we should perhaps keep her here. But no, we don't want to keep her here. She's doing her work. You say, well, my goodness, maybe we should have kept King Solomon around, you know, because he was so great. No, he did his job, and he told his stories, and the people listened, and they grew by that. And now we must go it our own way. And the same with Jesus. You say, if Jesus is immortal, and Jesus lives forever, that's what Jesus taught, then why, we'll have that later. But if that's true, why don't we live immortally? And why don't we have Jesus right here to talk to anytime we want? Well, the answer is, we do. But if you If you do not belong to the hierarchy of the court, you cannot go into the court. You understand? If you are not one of the queen's invited guests, you do not come in to her court. It's not that you're unworthy. It's not that you don't have the nice clothing to wear. It's not that you shouldn't be there. But you are not a member of that court. Now, what does the queen's court say? The queen's court says, everybody who enters into the queen's court is beautiful. They all wear a special dress. Did you ever read the Bible and read some of the stories of the teachings of Jesus? And in some of the stories, the bride, the father of the bride, was having a wedding party, okay? And he was inviting people to the wedding party, and nobody came. So then he went out on the street and he invited every Tom, Dick, and Harry in whatever description they were to come. But there is an unwritten law, maybe it's written, and that law says anybody who goes to a wedding party dresses beautiful in their best. And a few people came to the wedding party, you may recall, who were not dressed in their best, and they were sent away. It's not that they didn't have the best. It's just that they were not dressed in it. They chose to come as they came off of the street, rather than dressing for it. So, you see, they didn't belong in that wedding party, because they didn't think that deserved to have them in their finest clothing, see? That wedding party deserved to have them in their best attitude, in their best manners, in their best way of doing things. And if they weren't going to do that, they didn't deserve to be in the wedding party. But that's all attitude. But it's a very definite attitude. Now you and I, if we do not have the proper attitude, we cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven like a little child do. If we don't have the right attitude, and what is that attitude?
Be myself and have fun.
That attitude is to be yourself and have fun, but that attitude is self-respect. If you don't respect yourself, do you think you're going to get in? If you want to go to the Queen's party and you don't respect yourself, you're wearing clothing that's not charming, what's going to happen? They're going to tell you, you're not welcome here. They're going to tell you, get lost. They're going to say, who are you coming in here wearing your work jacket, you know? Who are you coming in here without polishing your shoes? Who are you coming in here not combing your hair? Who are you coming in here talking like a Cockney instead of talking like a Britisher? Yeah. You see, when you go into the Queen's court, you are going to go with majesty. When you go to your divine inner self, your divine inner self says, oh, you are talking like a person that does not respect themselves. This is what Chrissy is teaching. She's teaching, be yourself and have fun, and she's teaching to respect yourself. And as you respect yourself, you open yourself to all of the goodness and all of the happiness and all of the neat stuff that's coming your way. You want to go into the Queen's court, but you don't belong there because you don't know how to act. Now, if you ever say, I don't know, if you ever say, Sylvia, Lajan, if you ever say things are out of order or not harmonious or not peaceful, then what's happening? What's happening is you are saying that the divine in you is not beautiful, not wonderful, not fantastic. You're saying the divine in you is not a beautiful experience in every possible way. And you see, that's important to say. I just asked Sylvia for one of my lozenges, you know, for sucking on this candy, and she should have given me the licorice I like so much, but somebody's been nibbling on them, and so they're not here anymore. But that's c'est la vie. And you see, are you ready? Are you ready to deal with the divine within you? If you're ready to deal with the divine within you, then that means that you have to recognize it and deal with it on its terms. Is the divine within you beautiful? Is the divine within you fantastic? Is the divine within you expecting only the very best and the most wonderful out of you? Is that what the divine within you expects? If the divine within you expects it, do you think it's going to talk to you when you don't act like that? When you say, I don't know? When you say, I wish I knew? When you say, my goodness, everything's going bad, you know, everything's falling apart? Or, you can't tell our handyman this or that because he'll forget it. Or you can't do this or that because he'll forget it. And you, there's no sense watering the grass right now, even though Herb says to water the grass, because it'll freeze and it won't grow nicely. And regardless of whether Herb says do it, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But if you would do it, if you would follow that action given to you for a purpose, you would find the grass would instantly start to grow. You know, it's amazing how just a little bit of sunlight and a little water falling upon a piece of open field, and up comes the grass, you know? The grass doesn't say, well, we're going to have some cold spells yet. I don't want to get out there and freeze my tootsies, you know. It just does what it's natural for it to do. What is it natural for you to do? Is it natural for you to say, I know that I know that I know the divine in me knows how to handle this? Or is it natural for you to say, I have never done this before and this is something new to me. I don't know how to do it. I don't know what I'm going to do. You say, well, Herb, this is some of the most basic information that you're feeding us now, which is what you've been feeding to us for years. I will ask you, in all innocence, do you always say, I know that I know that I know, and follow it with the divine in me knows the answer? Do you always say it? Do you always say it rather than anything else? Now, Christy and many other practitioners that we have around the world, they call us up and they say, oh, Dr. Barley, will you work with me on this? Will you work with me on this person, on this problem? And I say, sure. And they say, what should I do? Would you talk to them? Sure. So I say to them, listen to the divine within, follow what it has to say, and then you will find that you have the solution to your circumstances instantly. And then they hang up, and then they say, Christy says to them, what did Dr. Barley say to you? And they say, oh, that was secret. He told us some very special things that just secret for me, and it's going to work. You watch. you'll see it working. You'll see it. And he doesn't tell her. Now, the same thing she would say to him if she had believed it and lived it herself. But because she says it and is learning to do it at the same time, other people doubt it. Because your conviction should be so fantastic, so absolutely magnificent, so strong, that no one will ever doubt you. But if you have a little doubt, well, you try this, this may work. Oh, try this, it may work. You do this, and it works. You know? What a difference. What a difference. Now, that's the only difference I have in working with people. I say, you do this, and it works. And then they go and do it, and it works. And they say, yes, yes, yes. Now, I say, tell yourself that after. Work on yourself. Teach yourself. Get that inner self of yours going so that you'll always stand up behind what you want to do. Never fall into the trap of thinking that somebody else could do it and you can't. Because when you live in that awareness that you can do it, then it is done. And this is what Christy is teaching her people. This is what Christy is teaching the people, the subjects of the Queen in Great Britain. This is why Christy has an audience with the Queen every other week to keep things in order for her. You know. But this is why she has an entourage that she has. Christy is like the microphone giving out the beautiful information. And her microphone is located at the New Hampton Hospital.
The New Ham University Hospital.
And at the New Ham University Hospital, she is in the broadcast room. She is in the room from which is broadcast all these positive statements. And she sees each one of the doctors and she says, you will do a beautiful operation there. You'll do a beautiful this. This will be fantastic. You know the right answer. And the doctor goes and does the right answer. And then the nurses come and say, oh, how should we handle this? What shall we do? I really don't know. And Christy says, listen within and you'll be guided to do the right thing. They go and listen within and they're guided to do the right thing. And then they forget. And they come back to Christy again. They say, Christy, what do we do here? Christy doesn't say, you silly lady, I told you just 20 minutes ago what to do, and you did it, and now you've got the same thing again. Why are you asking the question? She wouldn't do that. She doesn't belittle the person who keeps coming and wanting to walk the spiritual path, even while not knowing that they want to walk it. Because every time people come and ask, we say the same thing again and again and again with great patience. It takes great patience to be a great teacher. And as you are great patience, yes, and yeah, what is it we have? To love is to go on teaching forever without becoming weary. And Sheridan wrote that. Now, beautiful, beautiful. We have the ability to do this, but we have the ability when we express unconditional love for ourselves. And when we express unconditional love for ourselves, then everything opens up for us. Everything comes our way and everything just works out so beautiful for us. We are just delighted and thrilled. We say, but they're not doing it and they're this here. Now this is not them. Hey, there's only one place where unconditional love starts, and that's in each one of us alone. So, we go out and be unconditionally loving, and as we are unconditionally loving, every single person in our world is unconditionally loving. If we have one little chink in our armor, one little Achilles heel, and that's one little doubt, then it won't work for us. We'll say, how come? I'm teaching them unconditional love, and they're doing unconditional love, and they're getting the results. I'm not getting it. Because you doubt it. Oh, I wish I could do it as well as she does it. I wish I could do it as well as they do it. You doubt. You just know you do it. And you do it with all your heart, and all your soul, and all your being. And when you do it, the great things happen. The great things happen. I don't get results because I'm better than anybody else. I get results because I'm consistent. I stand behind what I say and I do it. I don't say, gee, I wish, hey, let's call this one, all these practitioners, let's call them all. We got a problem. This is a big problem, you know. Let's get all guns out there. No. The more people you bring in, the more sure you are of it not succeeding. Because the more people you bring in, the more people who are going to doubt having it done be done. And the more people are going to doubt that it's ever going to be done. And when they doubt that it's going to be done, then what's going to happen? It's going to be doubted. It's not going to be done. And we don't want that to happen, do we?
No.
No. So we have to be very careful. This is my notes. We have to be very careful that we follow exactly what we believe in our heart. Now, What do you believe in your heart? Do you believe that the divine is in you? Do you believe the divine is in you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
God said, okay, you believe the divine is in you. Now, am I telling you something new?
No. Yes.
Is it something different than I've ever said before? No. Is it something that's just so spectacular it's going to shake your boats? It's the same old thing. Now, when you begin to act based upon that, then everything is in order. When you act based upon the divine is in you, you don't have to call it divine. You can call it God. You don't have to call it God. You can call it my higher self. Is your higher self inside of you?
Yes.
Where else would it be, huh? Where else could it be? Where else could your higher self be than inside of you, you know? And you call it divine, you call it whatever you wish, but the higher self, the divine, God, is all within you. And the Bible and many other books keep reaffirming this. Ministers don't like to reaffirm it because they think that's a problem. And you know why they think that's a problem?
Yeah, well, there's nothing to do left to do for them.
No. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If a bank gives you all of its money, what else has it got to give? What is the benefit of the bank? The benefit of the bank is to teach you how to make your money grow. Not just a depository for your money so no one can steal it from you. People can steal it very easily out of the bank. Just have you write checks or credit cards or other things. But the bank should be a place where you learn how to invest wisely. Stockbrokers are supposed to be guys who teach you how to invest wisely. But stockbrokers are what? There are two types of people who wait on you in the store. One is a order taker, and the other is a salesperson. They sell it to you. They sell it to you. They show you how it can be used. They show you why you should be glad you have it. They show you why it's the greatest thing in the world to have. And the other one's just an order taker. Hey, I need a pair of socks. Well, they're over there. And you pick out a pair of socks. Here's what I want. And you pay them. This is an order taker, you know. But you go in there and you say, I'd like a pair of socks. And the salesperson says to you, well, what are you going to be wearing them for? Are you going to wear them for a party? You're going out skiing? You know, are you going to wear them, say, around the house at night so your feet are nice and cozy? Or, you know, what would you like? We've got socks for all purposes here. Oh, hey, I hadn't thought of it that way. And so then, lo and behold, see, these are the salespeople. These are the people that make you feel good. When I bought this computer, I went to the salesperson. And I told him, hey, I like that computer. He said, yes, it's the finest that we have. You know, perhaps it was. And so I went through everything. He said, it's got everything on it. It's got everything on it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Well, now, my primary use for it is through the Internet, you know, other than writing letters and books and stuff. And so I come home, and it doesn't have a modem on it. I have no way to get onto the Internet. And you see, a good salesman would find out by finding out what you're going to do. Where are you going to wear these shoes? How are you going to handle it? You know, where are you going to have this? Are you going to be on the broadband? Are you going to be on Cox? Are you going to be on what? You know, how are you going to handle this? And but you see, that's the difference. Now, if you are a salesperson for what you believe inside yourself, the whole world is yours. If you are just an order taker, then it's just passing through you without leaving one little mark. You know how it is. People win sweepstakes, or they win a lottery, they win these things, and 10 minutes later, they're poor again. You know? Because the money wasn't theirs. You say, well, they bought things with it. Sure, but that'll be gone too, because they have no built-in program to maintain it and to keep it coming. Now, if you got $50,000 and you hadn't had it before, And instead of saying, wow, let's go buy, and say, let's invest it. And let's put it into something that's going to be a pretty good investment, and let's see what's going to happen. And then divine in me, direct me to this. Direct me to whatever is going to be the highest and best for me to have. And as you do that, what's happening? The divine in you will guide you. And you will go, you don't even have to go to the right stockbroker. As Ellen will tell you, we had our investment counselor, and he was a very fine investment counselor, but recommended we be conservative because the money was important to us. So the money just grew in a normal way, and it was good. But then Ellen talked to the girl in this office, and the girl says, yeah, well, I like this particular thing myself. And I said, what's that? And so she told Ellen, and Ellen says, hey, cool. And so she asked our advisor, and he says, yeah, that's a good thing to have. He says, I haven't recommended it because, you didn't have that much that you were going to invest. And Ellen says, well, every little bit counts. And so she invested in there, and within several months, what did we get? 40% return? Yeah, 48% return. 48% in one period of a couple months, wonderful, So, it's fantastic. And it's, you see, but Ellen listened. And she went to this girl, and the girl spoke to her, and Ellen had it in her heart to be aware of money and investments. And then as she was aware of this, then it came to her attention how to handle it and what to do. And you see, all these things, by the divine in her, by her higher nature, all revealing these things to her in a perfect, wonderful way. So, you see, this is what happens to us. When we let go, and we listen to the divine within us, we listen to our higher nature, we are always guided. But Ellen could have just as easily taken the attitude she'd had for years of, we'll think about it, maybe one day we'll do it, maybe. But the divine in her says, hey, you asked, now move it, do it, act upon it. The divine says, come on now, no foolishness. And then she came home and she told me about it. She said, what do you think? I said, go for it. And so she went for it. And it was beautiful. But you see, we even fight our own divine. We even fight listening to the divine within us. We even fight this silliness. And because we fight this silliness, what happens to us? Because we fight this silliness, what happens to us is that we close the door. And as we close the door, wonderful things stop happening for us. Wonderful things just do not take place. Now, do you want to have the greatest thing in the world take place? And I think that I do. Unlimited Church of England teach. It just teaches us what we should know from birth on, to listen within and follow what the divine within tells us to do. And listening within and following within what the divine tells us to do will always bring us into the perfect response to everything that's good. Now, are you ready to listen within? Are you ready to follow the divine within and accomplish all those things that are perfect and good for you? Are you ready? And if you're ready, then you don't think it's a surprise. Another aspect of practitioner treatment, the practitioner, people will call a practitioner. You'll say, treat for me that I'm whole and perfect and that everything's in divine order for me. Yeah, and everything's in divine order for me. And then they'll say, now, as soon as you have got your healing, call us and let us know. Let us know that you're healed, you know. Well, that's just like saying, I don't believe in the principle. Because what is the truth? The truth is that the healing is done already at the very beginning before you even ask for it. And this is what it's all about. Before you even ask for it, the healing is done. And so you don't ask for people to tell you that the healing is done. When people call and say, please treat for me, you say, it is done. Well, shall I call and let you know when it's done? It's done right now. Right now. Because we are not working to accomplish something that is not done. We are working to open our mind and our heart to the realization that it is already done and that we are merely waking up to see it. Now, if I said to Reverend Christie, Reverend Christie, under this blanket is your grandson, your nephew, Ibube. And she'll say, oh, no, if Ibube was under there, that blanket would be running all over the place. And I said, no, I told Ibube to be real quiet and lay under the blanket so it'd be a surprise for you. Now, well, no, no, if Ibube was under there, surely he'd be this. And if Ibube, oh, surely it's that. And you see, her doubt. And then she pulled the blanket away and there was no Ibube because she doubted that he was there. And this is what we do to ourselves. The truth is there, it is definite, and because we don't go there knowing that it is done, then whatever our expectation is, that's what we experience. And so this is one of the big things that we teach in our philosophy, one of the big things that we teach in being yourself and having fun, that it is all done right now. There is nothing more to do than it is all done right now. And that's all that matters. You understand? You understand? And one of the big things we don't do is we never put temptation in people's way. If we put temptation in people's way and then they fall into the trap, we say, oh, well, isn't that cute? And it's not cute at all. We never put temptation in people's way. If somebody says, I would like to eat a third of a portion of food with every meal, you do your damnedest to serve just a third of a portion and not say, well, this is so little, it doesn't look like it's much. That doesn't matter. If it's a third of the portion that you would eat, then it's more than enough. You understand? Never ask. Because if you ask, the person will always say, well, I'm weak. I'll take something. And you see, we're destroying ourselves because we don't believe that the person really means they're going to have a third of a portion. And we're destroying their own conviction in itself of having the conviction that they want to have. And I can tell you one thing. If a person asks for a third of a portion and you serve him more, you are killing him. Because if that person would eat less, you know, 40% less or better, they would live another 20 years or more. And so you just don't want them around anymore.
No.
You just don't want them around that extra 20 years, you know.
No.
They're going to be there for 3,000 years and 3,020, you know, shame on you. So don't do that. Don't think you're going to presume what another person does. If a person comes up to Christy and says, Christy, heal me. And Christy says, well, I don't lay on of hands. Christy, I don't lay on of hands. And Christy and the lady says, well, I'm not talking about laying on of hands. I want you to heal me. Well, Christy says, you do that for yourself. I don't do it. And, well, Christy, I know you do it, because every time you've talked with anybody and you've spoken your healing word for them, they've been healed. Well, that's my healing word. Well, that's what I want. I just don't have the vocabulary to say it in the way that you want me to say it, you know. And so people come to Christy and they say, Christy, will you heal me? And Christy says, wow, you're an easy one. You know, it's done. It's done. It's done. Yes, it's done. Go home. It's done. Now, can you, and I believe it as practitioners, it is done. Otherwise, he would not ask us. And if we have the consciousness to see it done, then we really are the practitioner. Now, if somebody's healing and getting better, and we say, oh yes, everything will be all right in a short time, that's not healing. Healing is done right this minute, right now. And this is what God Unlimited Church of England teaches now. And it is really, utterly fantastic and marvelous. Are you ready for that?
Yes.
Can you handle it?
Yes.
Great. Now, I understand that Christy is going to be given two forms, and these are affiliation forms for England University of Philosophy and God Unlimited Church of England, so that she will have these listed in the GIST, and she will be an affiliate organization, and people will come to her from all over England who are taking the GIST and want to have her teach them, share with them, and show them the way so that they can have not only a wonderful, but a much better, much more fantastic day. So, my lady, that's in the offering for you. And this is only chapter one of six chapters for this week for us. So, I'm very happy for you. And I thank you very much for your listening and your joy. And I think Ibuve is just fabulous.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
So.